in preparation for the final vote. So we have the
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know I shouldn't be doing this for the time. I was informed that. I also get to apologize. He would have been present himself. I have been asked to represent the department, the delegation, for the department. I have brought with me senior members of the department, some of whom the committee is familiar with. Mr. Makisa is the new DDG for policy, research, monitoring, and information management. Functional. Mr. Valis, yeah, I think you're familiar with the gentleman sitting over there. He's chief director. Service delivery, support, previously program management, support. On the far right is the lady, Ms. Lissorunyane. She is the DDG operations. Mr. Deed from Pumsin, I think you are familiar with. He's the chief director of policy planning. Ms. Bayat is acting chief director, program monitoring and evaluation. Ms. McClassy is in charge of finance and monitoring of the grant in terms of DORA. Behind me is Mr. Hichi, who is the director responsible for preparation of the budget. Next to him is Ms. Jam Kamani. She is the director responsible for anti-fraud energy in the department. Thank you. Lastly, my name is Walter Sabandu. I'm the DDG responsible for finance in the department. I will share the work with my colleagues, both in terms of the presentation itself and the answer. I will run through as much as possible. I know that there are many slides. Some of them are just reminders of previous presentations. The aim of the department continues, as outlined in the ENE document, being to determine, finance, promote, coordinate, communicate, and monitor policy in respect of housing and human settlement development. The vision is continues to be a nation housing sustainable human settlement. The mission is to establish and facilitate a sustainable that provides equitable access to adequate housing. Our values, based on the Constitution, continue to be based on human dignity, equality, advancement of human rights, and freedom, non-racialism, non-sexism, supremacy of the Constitution, and the rule of law. Accountability, responsiveness, and openness in the work we do. Our mandate is derived from the Constitution, Section 26, dealing with access to adequate housing as a basic human right, and Schedule 4, with housing being a concurrent provincial and national legislative competence. We also continue to be informed by the white paper, the RTP, and our housing legislation regulations since 1994. The Housing Act has amended prevention of illegal eviction from and unlawful occupation of land. Act number 19 of 1998, Housing Consumer Measures Protection Act, some of which I think various amendments have either come to the committee or in the process of doing so. Rental Housing Act and the Home Loans and Mortgage Disclosure Act. We have now developed or in the process of completing the process of rewriting and developing a new housing code, which takes into account the values espoused in the comprehensive plan for sustainable human settlement, national norms and standards for permanent residential structure, the Red Book, guidelines for environmentally efficient low cost housing. Our policy formula continues to be directed as directed by the white paper on the new housing policy and strategy for South Africa and the comprehensive plan, as I have already indicated, that was approved in 2004. Just linkages to the broader government priorities, the white paper on new housing policy and strategy. It remains the basis of our policy program, the convention plan, as I indicated, the urban renewal program, integrated sustainable development strategy, expanded public works program, the program to develop entrepreneurs among local cities and funding communities, particularly in this case, insofar as it relates to the construction sector for low cost housing. President's National Special Development Perspective, which informs our housing allocation formula, government-wide monitoring and evaluation system, that we link up with to assess the impact of our programs, the strategic development initiatives, and the provincial development frameworks and IDPs, particularly the chapters of the housing chapters of the IDPs. Specific priorities within the National Housing Program acceleration, the delivery of housing as a key strategy for poverty alleviation, utilizing provision of housing as a major job creation strategy by applying the extended public works program, ensuring property can be accessed by all as an asset for wealth creation and empowerment, leveraging growth in the economy, promoting social cohesion and improving quality of life for the poor, support the functioning of the entire residential market, property market, to reduce duality within the sector by breaking the barriers between the first economy residential property boom and the second economy slump. I think we've, over the last couple of years, seen some improvement there as a result of some of the developments in some of the areas that were not particularly performing in terms of the housing market. Utilizing housing as an instrument for the development of sustainable human settlement in support of social restructuring. I think some of the environments that we continue to operate in as highlighting the trends and challenges. Domestic inflation environment continues to escalate and remains a threat, and therefore threatening the extent to which prices are coming and the cost for housing, with the producer price inflation peaking at 10% in November before declining slightly. But those numbers still are very high. Escalating material prices increase the cost of delivering housing, reducing the value of subsidies, pushing developers out of government subsidy markets, continues to be the threat. In response to inflation, interest rate was increased by 200 basis points by the Reserve Bank from 10.5% by December 2006. And this continues to threaten, therefore, in the value of the input costs that we housing is faced with. The impact of the interest rates affects the home loans, particularly the affordability, as we try to spread access to housing finance so that higher rates take away the potential impact of extending that to more people. House prices continue to escalate at about 10%, thereby adding pressure to housing affordability. This in turn exerts pressure on government. From time to time, and we are challenged to continue to look at measures, appropriate measures that would need to be done to reshape the housing policy so that we can continue to increase assistance for housing. Scarcity of suitable service land continues to push price escalation for land above 15%, adding to housing affordability problems. We have seen also a further threat of material supply challenges as shortage of material is expected to add to pressure on production costs. Competition for limited skills also, for critical skills were required as we have seen in the program. An overview of the budget as outlined in the estimates of national expenditure publication. This year, due to the restructuring that department has been undertaking and continues to be undertaking in order to respond appropriately to the increasing challenges. The program structure has been significantly amended, consolidation of related activities, and separation of those that have distinct objectives. Administration remains as administration, and we'll go to the detail and discuss the program. It increases our budget in total, increases from 8 billion to 12 billion, 12.5 billion in 3 years' time. Again, the significant program continues to be the housing development finance, which includes the transfers to provinces, the 9 provinces for the development. We have changed the previous program that was program management, enhanced and redirected the way in which things are to be done to now be called housing elimination support. That's where the support to provinces is located, and then housing policy research and planning. As indicated in the previous slide, 96% of the budget in housing development finance, with the balance spread between the two or three other programs. Significant, some important increases over the previous baseline allocation. It's not year on year, it's an increase additional to what was otherwise published in the previous publication. We're given capacity requirements 2 million, 2, 3, 5 for capacity requirements over and above our prioritization budget. integrated housing and human settlement development, national housing project, and to this is an increase on the grant that is not earmarked for any specific project, and therefore is allocated in terms of the allocation formula throughout the provinces. And the national housing project and to gateway 200 300 400 over the next 3 years. National housing project in Eastern Cape, where there were serious disasters as a result of rain. We members shall remember that in the adjustment budget we also allocated additional money to Northwest to deal with a similar situation and Western Cape. Just transfers either to public entities or grants. The big one is the Housing Development Finance grant, which is the conditional grant to provinces. And then the last allocation is just to earmarked for Social Housing Foundation. And the Social Housing Regulator, depending on whether the legislation passes, we might be coming back for an adjustment so that the program continues, but will continue under Social Housing Foundation in nature. PHPT has been closed to Belisha at the amount that I reflected there. Social Housing Foundation, as I indicated, is the social housing regulator dealing with the social delivery of the social housing in terms of the program linked to the EU program. The conditional grant, we now have phased out completely the previous human settlement redevelopment grant because all of it has been infused into the current program. Grows between the 2 years by 1.4 as outlined in my previous indication, between the non-earmarked allocation and then those earmarked allocations for specific purposes, but that I've already alluded to. I think out of these allocations, you can remember, can see that 97% is the conditional grant program. I will then hand over to Mr. Sonia to take us through administration.
Thank you. Good morning. The first program, administration, the program structure is made up of the following sub-programs: corporate support, HRT transformation and employee well-being, the HRA, performance management, labor relations and payroll, legal services, internal audit and special investigation, and then we have the executive support to the office of the DG, which includes strategic planning, the secretariat, and communication. We also have a specialist unit, and then of course the support to the minister. Our program one has the following sub-programs in its structure. I can briefly talk on each one of them. The Directorate's strategic planning is they manage the development and the implementation of the departmental strategic and performance plan. And they have two units. Some of the achievements for the strategic planning unit was helping producing the annual report and present it to the parliament. They regularly update strategic plans and performance plans. They also conduct quarterly evaluation reports and submit to the accounting officer. And they also develop the departmental operational and functional plan. Then the chief director, corporate support, they manage the functions of registry services, the auxiliary services, security, and the related functions of providing secretariat. Some of the achievements have been, they have provided functional desktop management and support solutions. They also supported our network through the 2006 and 2007. They coordinated all the security functions properly, and they also serviced about 112 meetings on different decision-making structures. Then the Chief Director of Human Resources Management was to manage and provide strategic human resources, organization, human resource development, labor relations, talent management, and job evaluation. They have been quite busy for the last year because of quite a lot of restructuring efforts that have gone through, which also entails a lot of management of people. Some of the achievements during the year have been that they have got a good, they have implemented a training plan. They have managed study aid, they have placed interns in the job, they have conducted job evaluations and assisted in organizational design, they have managed and administered performance management, administered the condition of services, managed grievance, disciplinary, and also managed the departmental bargaining chamber and reviewed human resources policies and managed recruitment and selection. Then there is the Chief Director of Transformation, and its purpose was to develop and manage transformation processes in compliance with the National Policy Framework and International Human Rights Instrument Directives. And some of the strategic objectives are to develop and manage particular services, service delivery improvement, employment equity, change management, and strategic plans. They also managed to develop and mainstream the transformation special programs and employee health and wellness programs. Some of the activities for the year 2007 are that that we have a project plan on the we currently have a service delivery turnaround project. We have also identified a service delivery improvement flagship project to develop service excellence campaign strategy and to conduct an environmental scan on monitoring and evaluation and develop and implement a new department employment equity plan. I'm not going because there are a lot of detailed slides. If it's an order chair, I'm only going to take you through the gist. The next one is being the Chief Director Legal Services and Legislative Support. The purpose is to manage and ensure efficient legal support and legislative functions to the department. The strategic objective of that Chief Director is to develop and draft a housing framework legislation and regulations, the coordination of housing framework legislation and regulation and monitor the framework legislation, render sound legal services to the department, render litigation support to the department and ministry, and coordinate and present legal awareness sessions to the department and also ensure and report on legal compliance within the department. Some of the key activities for 2007 and 8 are to introduce the following bills to Parliament: Housing Consumer Protection Measures Amendment Bill in 2007, Housing Amendment Bill, Social Housing Bill, the PIE Amendment Bill, the Rental Housing Amendment Bill, the Housing Development Agency Bill, Sectional Title Scheme Management Bill, and the Community Schemes Ombudsman Service Bill. We'll also be promulgating the following regulations: Home Loan and Mortgage Disclosures Act regulations, amendments to the Housing Consumer Protection Measures Act regulation, and the Social Housing Act regulation. Also, some of the activities of legal services are to defend and prosecute litigation on behalf of the department and the ministry, and also render legal opinions and draft legal documents for the department, and also conduct legal awareness sessions in the department and investigate legal compliance within the department and give quarterly reports to the Director General. Then we have the Chief Director Internal Audit, Risk Management and Special Investigations Unit, and the purpose is to coordinate the provision of internal audit, risk management and special investigation service for the department. In the structure we have a director, internal audit, risk management and a special investigations directorate who will also be developing and managing the implementation of service investigation strategies, policies and plans. Some of the achievements for 2005 and 6 have been initiated the Housing Anti-Corruption Forum to facilitate a coordinated approach to rooting out corruption within the provinces, and develop the first draft of whistleblowing policy, and we have recovered 720,000 project funds for Limpopo Housing Department, and these funds have been handed over back to the Limpopo Housing Department. Some of the more achievements for 2005 and 6 are they've conducted fraud and ethical awareness sessions at Nambele Municipality and the National Department of Housing. We also managed to get Patricia of Don Parking Housing and was sentenced to 6 years, 2 years suspended for 5 years in collecting money worth 17,000 and with also a promise of a subsidy house. Another one was also a developer from Port Elizabeth was sentenced to 6 years imprisonment, and the two cases were worth 434,000. Some more achievements were the SIU unit has developed very good working relationship with the National SIU and trust. We've entered into memorandum of understanding with the AG's office, the Public Protector Task and ESO. They monitored housing investigation cases of court and have submitted regular reports to the Director General. We have investigated and resolved corruption cases in Port Elizabeth. Also, in reported corruption matters in King Williamstown, the investigation is ongoing. Investigators report corruption at the Thorwala municipality and found the matter to be falling with DPLG and managed to obtain the approval of the single presidential proclamation by the Minister of Housing, but the issuing by the President is still outstanding. They've also facilitated in the risk management arena. We have facilitated a strategic risk management and updated the departmental risk register. We have developed a 3-year rolling strategic plan and an audit, annual audit plan, completed projects as per the annual audit plan, and also coordinated internal audit forums between the National Department of Housing and the Provincial Department in compliance with DORA. And on the internal audit side, we have provided independent assurance on the system of internal control, risk management, and corporate governance process. And we also rendered services and support to the audit committee, the internal audit. Some of the activities for 2007 and 8 are to develop the risk management policy and plan based on the national policy and its framework. Facilitates the risk identification and assessment process, at least to be conducted once a year, and develop and maintain the departmental risk register. Some of the activities for the SIU unit is to manage and conduct, continue conducting the housing investigation, to develop a plan, fraud prevention strategy and fraud prevention plan, and to promote anti-corruption and ethical awareness campaigns throughout various session internally with the province and municipality, and also to implement the amnesty project. It's a 2-year project. Some more activities for the SIU unit is to finalize and implement the whistleblowing policy, to expedite the issuing of the single national proclamation, and to intensify coordinate investigations on the corruption with the SIU across provinces, and to ensure that the housing department regains public confidence and credibility through intensification and finalization of investigations. Those are all my areas in the program structure for program one. And if I give the budget breakdown for the program one administration is 938 for the year 2007 and 8. In the ministry, management is 38,737. Corporate services is 68,711, and property management is 8 million. And the total budget is 116,419,000. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, but I'll stop suggesting that just do all the presentations after going program and answer the question. But okay, we'll do that anyway.
Yes.
Okay. Over to you, Mr. Sabah.
Housing policy research and planning. As I indicated previously, it is now a slightly restructured program from the previous program. Its main objective is to develop sound national human settlement and housing policy supported by responsible research, monitoring, assessment of implementation, performance, impact, and impact of policies and programs, and to provide integrated business information. It is broken down into housing policy sub-programs, whose aim is to develop new and review and maintain existing housing policies, human settlement policies, develop and plan the implementation of sustainable human settlement policy and national programs. Progress analysis and affordable program development is the National Housing Code, as I indicated, has now been revised and made more flexible. It has been updated and improved. All new housing programs introduced since 2000. The new policy document are published upon approval during May. The Rural Housing Subsidy Program has been revised to align with the latest and rights legislation, which was amended during 2007. The program for support of individual rental housing provision has been completed and will be subject to a broader enough market survey and evaluation. The program for housing assistance to persons who lost their guardians has been developed and completed. The backyard private rental program has been subject to and distinct broader rental market survey and evaluation initiative. The comprehensive manual for the evaluation of the housing subsidy program has also been developed. The program for the renovation of the housing stock created during the pre-1994 housing association has also been developed. The project for the evaluation of insurance cover for low-cost income, for low-cost housing, and the employer-assisted housing options were rescheduled for since last year to 2007-8 financial year. As a result of reprioritization due to magnitude of other projects that we embarked upon last year. The project for defining adequate housing has been completed, and the new housing subsidy program topology will be introduced with effect from April 2007. The draft farm worker housing assistance program has been ready for consultation at the social contract for our development. I think it's taking place next week. The land acquisition policy has been approved by NIMEC. The program group for the development of housing charters of municipal housing ITPs has been approved by NIMEC. In addition, the awareness raising campaign for the program has been done. In line with this, a planning framework project towards which we are undertaking with the provinces to help the housing provinces with the assistance of the national tender is underway. We started it last year to try and improve on the planning. Particularly in relationship to the grant. The draft guidelines for the Department's Youth Development Plan has been ready developed for approval. So just project development to date. Deliverables for the MGF 2007-10 finalized the new policy implementation guidance for sustainable housing development and continue to they revise housing code and continue to implement any improvements that may be required. Develop a policy on indigenous building technology for the housing subsidy. Develop a model for housing policy implementation assistance for provinces and municipalities and operationalize it. We'll also look at investigation on possible low-cost housing insurance products. Investigate alternative tenure options for the housing subsidy scheme going forward. Continue to investigate the possible program for shared accommodation. Finalize regional and local policy development frameworks for provinces and municipalities. Continue. We will roll out the national program for housing charters of ITP. Find demand for consolidation training of professional housing workers, update and amend training materials as required, provide support to training sessions on ITPs, ongoing engagement and support to provincial coordinators and provincial support providers, convene quarterly ICT programs here in Community and Coordination Forum, support the development of provincial housing development plans, a national housing multi-year housing development plan or update, assist provinces are indicated in improving on the multi-year housing development plan, approach homework housing assistance program. We will also develop guidelines for environmentally sound housing for inclusion into the revised housing code, as we revise the code also, we have to revise and some of them. Develop the department's environmental impact plan. Under research and best practice, the purpose for this chief directorate, which falls under the sub-program management program, to manage, initiate, undertake, and coordinate research on human assessment in housing. It is policy, research, and research support, which deals with management of policy, research, and infrastructure, and provide research support. Then it's broken down into best practice and then market and industry analysis as sub program under this chief directorate. Third one is to manage and provide market and industry analysis services to the department. Progress analysis under this program key was the appraisal of the comprehensive plan, a workshop on the review of the progress made towards the implementation of the plan on sustainable human settlement was held last year in June. State of the human settlements, the report generated above provided an impetus to conduct further research work on the status of the implementation that would be finalized in 2007. Skills audit, a research was undertaken to determine skills needed to implement the comprehensive plan on sustainable human settlements. We've also done a study on integration, which is aimed at determining the state of integration of the residential establishments and how the state of the housing is facilitated, or whether it has, and to what extent it may have prohibited it. The research unit established and continues to strengthen research partnerships with government departments and other government entities on various projects. In particular, partnerships with science and technology resulted in 8.5 million projects that focused on integrated planning modeling. The project also includes the Department of Transport and CSIR. research in collaboration with Charanang Legal Advisor Center was conducted to investigate the interface between women and housing, and this was completed. The seminar regarding is planned for 2007. Number of research papers in support of the minister were completed to support the housing. Going forward, we plan to finalize the stage of the human settlement report as indicated, develop a housing research strategy, develop a strategy for the dissemination of research collaborative initiatives, initiate and undertake research on identified policy issues, provide and oversight, support and advisory function for research within various business units on identified research areas. We aim to establish a research resource nucleus on matters of human settlement, continue to provide research support to various business units to support the policy development and implementation, provide regular analysis of key macroeconomic variables and their impact on the provision of housing, to provide regular forecast on macroeconomic related services and some of the global Mother Kelly. All of these are aimed at ensuring that we can make our plan and provide regular reports on performance and capacity of the construction of the center, provide regular reports on programming and training in the use of alternative building technologies and housing provisions, and investigate and report on the contribution of housing and sustainable human settlement development to job creation. We'll develop norms and standards for best practice in housing and human settlement, benchmark best practice in housing sector, undertake research on various contexts to establish best practice in housing sector. As I indicated, the dissemination then of the research outputs and foster innovation in housing and settlement research. Sector information management services aims provides an integrated business information system and IT service, maintains national housing databases and information systems, and provides access to business and analyze information. Again, our restructuring was to look at what are the related functions and therefore group them together so that they can be able to support one another in a better way than before. We rolled out the housing subsidy system, continue to roll out the housing subsidy system which has been in place, and improve on the budget modules, amend and improve on the templates for planning and reports to provincial housing partners. After we tested some of the issues that were, for example, some of which were raised by the Auditor General. Final testing in some of them has been completed, and deployment plan of the housing department was undertaken in March to visit them and in some cases test the implementation of the We also conduct training as we develop and improve on the system. For last year, all the training that was planned was undertaken. We also provide on an ongoing basis support to all provincial housing departments on the use of the system and the practice that they may be experiencing. And accreditation, we acquired the hardware which is being installed in the last term of the current financial year. Training to start in February and March 2007 to help with the accreditation process. National Housing Demand Database in the Western Cape project is now 90% complete. We are reviewing the Gauteng database. We aim to start with the other 7 programs. We aim to start in February and March 2007. although we have not as yet been able to start due to logistical issues that we have sort of before we start with the other problems, and also the lessons that we learned, including learned from the other processes. And the natural use of the money, and therefore we need to reorganize the manner in which we raise it with other problems. Library Resource Center, which is an internal resource located at the head office, with information that relates to all matters of legal reference. Internet Cafe. We update under this program the website, which includes updated content, conduct, statistics, events, etc. etc. Housing Communication Forum website, additional web services that we undertake, included the website, which we publish on Anchor, the PHP team information that will now form part of the our the main website. Department, knowledge services, publication of articles on the role of information that is now delivery, and that was an internal publication, fire service in place, and in operation, the implementation of the fire as a squad. We develop on an ongoing basis studies and fact sheets for internal circulation about key topics to empower one another and stimulate debate about some of the issues. Informal settlement study and atlas, progress in the acquisition of data and development of NERD. Version 1 was printed and being reviewed for amendments. Housing investment portal potential atlas, framework being finalized in preparation for addition of NERD layers. All of these are aimed at ensuring and helping with the better planning, much improved information. Housing information handbook completed, new fields updated and uploads to AIMS. Once they are finished, they will be on our website. The allocation formula work on the particularly as impacted by the new statistics has been updated under this program using the statistical information that has been provided, including the so that they, over time we allocate the appropriate the funding in accordance with the those changes. Yeah, most of the other stuff I think is pretty internal information that is produced for use by managers. We are aligning our reporting and quality of data with the operational between professional departments and national to other stakeholders for effective monitoring. And also to improve on the implementation of the program. Including accessing some of the other databases, some of those things that we have found to have occurred previously. collaboration and distribution of information on and offline, mechanisms to populate, share information on the department and between departments. We now, as I said, we have now developed a working relationship for sharing of information so that we can minimize even the issues of corruption and non-qualified people. Chief Directorate Policy and Program Monitoring, largely new under this program. I will ask
thank you, PDG, Chairperson. Good morning, members. This is a fairly new chief director. Essentially, we don't have anything to report as anything done previously, so I'm going to tell you going forward basically what we're going to be doing. Chair, the purpose of this chief director is really to coordinate the monitoring, evaluating, and reporting on all national housing policies and programs. It's about monitoring and evaluating the adherence to project and program planning, about the implementation and delivery process, and it's also about the assessment of the impact of government's program in all the provinces. So we're really taking the whole issue of program monitoring, evaluation, assessment, and reporting as part of our mandate. chairperson in terms of our analysis of where this is and what we're going to be doing. We're saying that we need a comprehensive monitoring, evaluation, and impact assessment policy and framework that is going to be put into place, and we're currently doing a fair amount of work on this. We have a draft already, but this policy and framework is currently in the process of being finalized. This is actually based on the comprehensive plan, and already some work has been done, and we've already started to workshop this particular document with provincial housing departments. We've also conducted an exercise in collaboration with the Chief Director of Information Management, in terms of which we want to align our reporting of non-financial statistical information at both provincial and national level. We've also introduced an initiative in collaboration with information management to verify actual delivery of housing units in the various provinces. So while information management is actually undertaken to count the units, physically go out there and count it, we will monitor and ensure that this is correctly done. We have already published quarterly reports on performance of national housing programs. We have also published progress reports on urban and rural nodes. We also conduct studies on the impact of the housing subsidy scheme on beneficiaries in various housing projects, the participation of the communities in planning processes of housing projects, the township establishment process, and the MNE capacity in provincial housing departments. That is something that we continue to do. Here, in terms of our deliverables and what we would like to do going forward, we would like to ensure that we have a monitoring and evaluation and impact assessment framework and a system that will be applicable and operational at national and provincial level. And as I said, there's a tremendous amount of work that we've put in there. We started to put together the indicators that we'll start to monitor and evaluate all the different policies and programs, the construction processes, to ensure that there's compliance with our policies and that it's being done in sync with the comprehensive plan. We will also establish a mechanism to track construction processes, that is building technologies, quality, in fact, to ensure that processes are being followed and that norms and standards of the quality of the units is maintained. We will monitor and conduct the beneficiary occupancy audit that is currently being done. We will conduct an impact assessment study in collaboration with the World Bank on the upgrading on the affordable settlements. A meeting as part of this particular piece of work is going to be happening in the coming 2 weeks, and we're hoping to ensure that we have a very good indicator that will start to ensure that we understand the impact. We will also create housing information products in terms of M&E. We will establish a reporting channel with the government-wide monitoring and evaluation system and other social sector departments. Currently, we have started to align our own M&E system and our framework to what has been put forward by the presidency, and we're still awaiting guidelines from the presidency, but currently we are working in terms of the system and the framework that has been provided. We will also develop and implement an evaluation and learning strategy to ensure that all officials at both national and provincial level are adequately and well capacitated. This will be an ongoing process that we hope to undertake. Thank you, Chair.
Ms. Kavanagh, I can see that one program takes a lot of your time. But I would like you to go through to the other two programs, program 3 and program 4, you have some outstanding programs, but just manage your time.
Thank you. As we have indicated, this is the sub-program under this program. It's a fairly small program compared to the large of the programs. We aim to grow it for effectiveness. Program 3, I'm going to ask Mr. Wallace to take us through. Please, Mr. Wallace, the professor, to
Shane, thank you very much. I've been asked to present on behalf of Mr. Joseph Rishabani, who you may know has now been promoted to DBG some 2 weeks ago, but he could unfortunately not be here. And I want to also state this program is probably the most severely affected by our whole restructuring process, with the result that the old program three had members knew it is essentially no more. This is almost the establishment of a new program, budget-wise, but also activity-wise. The intention of our housing implementation support establishment within the department chair is in fact then to provide implementation and delivery support to provinces, to municipalities. That will be direct support to these people in order to expedite projects, build the capacity of the whole government sector, but also sectors outside of government in relation to housing, liaise with our stakeholders outside of government, a special unit which will also focus on intergovernmental relations, and then the whole issue of information, communication, and sharing of information. Those sections will all now be housed in this new program three. Therefore, Church is very quickly on the next slide. I just want to see that we are actually with the correct slide. Just go one back. It will consist of a number of chief directorates, Chair, service delivery support directly to provinces and municipalities, but we will divide the country geographically, creating two chief directorates so that we can provide more dedicated support to those institutions. We will have a separate rental, social housing, and a people's housing process unit, also to provide that dedicated support. We will then have a sector support liaison and stakeholder management unit, and intergovernmental relations and accreditation unit, which will to a very large extent focus on accreditation and the assistance to have municipalities accredited. As I indicated, our communication and consumer education unit. Obviously, in terms of BNG, the comprehensive plan capacity building has become a major focus of the department, and then there will be a special program support unit. And we can just skip slide, we can skip that slide, Chair, we can skip that slide, and we can then go to the next slide, please. In terms of the activities that we have performed, Chair, during the 2006-2007 financial year, we have now finalized the finance linked individual housing subsidy scheme for the income group 3,500 to 7,000. That is now available. The inclusion and housing policy and the implementation guidelines, a framework has been completed, and that final policy should be completed within the next few months, Chair. We have also done an investigation about the recurrent service costs incurred by beneficiaries and municipalities, and that report has been submitted to the Minister. We have continued phasing out and managing out the Human Settlement Redevelopment Program. As Mr. Blabonti indicated, all funds have now been transferred to provinces. We have also, on a continuous basis, managed the memorandum of understanding which was signed between the department, FedUp, and the SDI. That is, Chair, going very, very well. And in terms of the promise that the Minister made of the 185 million, projects are now being established in all the provinces to give effect to that MOU. And we have, on a continuous basis, aligned our infrastructure policies with the other infrastructure sector departments. The Job Summit projects, Chair, are going well. Witbank is virtually finished. We have also established new policy and implementation guidelines to further guide the implementation of our Job Summit projects. And in relation to the following phase, which according to Treasury guidelines needs to be done in terms of the PPP regulations, public-private partnership regulations, We have now appointed the transactional advisors to investigate the next round of projects. Chair, the social housing policy was approved by MINEC in, I think it was October, November 2006. And we have also had an approval by MINEC of our new community residential unit policy, which essentially replaces the public sector hostel upgrading program. We have extended our scholarship program, Chair, to 20 new students enrolling this year. Our beneficiary education program is going extremely well. We have trained over 1,100 field workers who are now working within communities to build the capacity of our beneficiaries in relation to housing policy, housing knowledge, how to look after the houses, what the titles have mean, etc., etc. The human support program is still ongoing within the provinces, and a lot of training has been done on our policy and legislation. Provincial officials, municipal officials, and municipal councillors. We have also now developed all the material in terms of a councillor induction program within the housing sector, and that will be rolled out within the next 2 to 3 weeks. The sanitation, health, and hygiene capacity building program, which we are running in collaboration with the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry, as well as the Department of Health, has been going very well. We've reached a considerable amount of beneficiaries in terms of that one. Provincial capacity building business plans, Chair, were all completed by the provinces. Chair, then in terms of our planned activities of this newly created branch within the department. As I said, the purpose was actually to support the expedition, expedite delivery on the ground. So we will, in the first instance, try to finalize the Human Settlement Redevelopment Program during the course of this year. Then, Chair, we will provide focused support to the special ministerial projects, which the Minister has agreed with a number of institutions, and to finalize these as the Minister wanted in terms of a pilot project. Chair, as you are aware, there are a number of stalled and blocked projects provinces. In terms of our capacity this year, our main focus will be to assist provinces and municipalities to unblock these projects as a matter of urgency, a frightening amount of houses that are blocked which needs to be unblocked. We will also to some extent focus on the normal housing subsidy projects which are not going as they should be going. The virtual business plans in terms of capacity building will be prepared once again to get provinces and the national department in alignment as far as our capacity building activities are concerned, and we will continue with the human support program. We will also continue, Chair, with our normal training programs of provincial and municipal officials on housing policy, particularly the new code, which will hopefully be approved very soon. On our new legislation, on the health and hygiene program. The beneficiary empowerment program, Chair, will receive a lot of focus this year, and a lot of our funding will be going into this program. Our council induction program, as I indicated, will be rolled out. Our housing scholarship needs to be managed on a continuous basis. And then, Chair, we will also, if things go very well, finally established the housing professionals body. Chair, as I indicated, the two chief directorates' activities are in fact mirrored, so we have divided the country, as I said, geographically, and I will not repeat the activities then of that second chief directorate. As far as the sector support liaison and stakeholder management chief directorate is concerned, the main focus of that chief directorate will be to liaise with other sector stakeholders outside of government provide management and implementation support to such sector focus groups. And then finally, Chair, to also on a collaborative basis assist with projects within the sector. Achievements, Chair, which is very briefly, in terms of 2006-2007, continuous management of the social contract for rapid housing delivery, which was signed in Cape Town. Management of the Governor Mbeki Ministerial Awards. And numerous meetings were held with Slum Dwellers International, SDI, AMCA Zero, Youth Build International, as a start-up and a kick-off to future work that needs to be done during the course of this year. Plan activities, Chair, very, very briefly. Clearly, ongoing management of the social contract, develop and maintain an engagement framework to source funding, support with the stakeholder community, as Mr. Dabanti indicated, to prepare the social contract for the rural housing in Java, which is taking place in East London next Thursday and Friday. I hope you've all received your invitations by now. We are also coordinating and will be implementing a youth housing in Daba scheduled for the middle, if I remember correctly, 17 to 19 of May in Bella Bella. And that will also culminate in an MOU which will need to be managed on a continuous basis. Next slide, please. We will also provide input on gender and women empowerment at national and international forum, support and coordinate the national women in the housing forum. Chair, I'm just highlighting some of the issues here for the sake of timing. We can continue on the next slide to create a customer-centered business plan for the sector stakeholders. Support the implementation of provincial human settlement economic nodes. We will support the implementation of provincial housing awards and manage the national coordinating forum. Manage the annual ministerial housing awards. Conduct stakeholder surveys to determine the needs of our external partners. As far as our budget is concerned, on the next slide, Chair. As you will notice, 148 odd million for this program, of which the three main cost drivers would be your intergovernmental relations and accreditation unit, where the majority of the funding would go towards accreditation support of municipalities. Secondly, capacity building, an amount of some 34 million, which will, to a very large extent, go towards our beneficiary education program, as well as the municipal counselor induction program. And then lastly, Chair, a fairly huge amount of 40 million towards communication. Chair, that would then conclude my presentation. Thank you very much.
As quickly as possible. Again,
this program is a combination of the program that has the housing development funding incorporated for funds to the funding and the water price and the by how the institution or the
normal activities that are undertaken. The financial management support is provided here, and in terms of which the internal controls for the spending of the money is managed, the supply chain management, acquisition issues, and then the debtor system. They are largely often of a current nature, and they will largely perform them, including improving on some of the controls and system maintenance issues for better management of the grant. We will continue to provide monthly reports to Treasury in terms of the legislation, as well as to MINMEC and technical MINMEC, and the periodic provincial report visits to discuss matters of spending. Housing institution aims to monitor the performance of housing institutions reporting to the minister, and also monitor trends, impacts, and patterns in housing and investment finance, to eradicate discrimination and unfair labor practices in the country or denying of access. It's a combination of the housing institutions, housing equity, and what we're aiming to have as a development finance unit that will assist in coordination matters of that nature. Achievements. We didn't have a particular unit dealing with housing institutions before we established it during the course of 2006. It was largely a function done in the region and another chief directorate. But at the moment, we've now created a directorate that we'll be dealing with. And there's quite a lot of work to be done under this. The quarterly report needs to be analyzed in detail. And various reports produced for the minister, and so that the issues of corporate governance are picked up much earlier. Policy on monitoring policy was developed and approved during the current year. Business plans have been analyzed, approved, targets met in terms targets analyzed.
You just go straight to your budget. Sorry,
yeah.
The rest number.
I think we came earlier in the year on implementing the home loans and mortgage banks. It was then, so all of those issues are reflected then as part of the changes for this year. The budget itself is, as members can see, is largely dominated by the grant for the at 8.2 billion, growing to 9.8 and 11.5 over the year. The social housing program is located here, plus the contributions to those institutions that I have in the last year. And then I think largely in more than 87% is the grant program. 96 comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jabari. And all other presenters, thank you. Members, this is time for you to engage with the presenters. We will talk about the program. We will also take program one. CDG, what I'm learning is we have a lot of CDGs coming in first week for the department, and I'm very happy with the non-recognition of the but I'm just concerned about the gender. So we have women CDGs. CDGs, this, CDGs, yes, CDGs, that. But you don't have to answer. But just say that the homework is not responsible for us. That's one of the what commissions don't say. Very much good government. You can see we are ready. And we emulate whoever has been appointed. But we are just concerned about this. So it's that to be our homework. But remember, you don't have to tell them that it's not my secretary. You can see with the book.
With your indulgence, I also just want to be briefly just comment on the restructuring. Obviously, restructuring is necessary from time to time, but the department has been on this restructuring drive now basically since 2004. And what has come out for me out of this presentation and the program is certainly, I think, more focus is being put on certain very specific issues. It's been taken out of a program where it was a general issue test and it's been given a chief directorship, which may be good or may not be good. I'm a little bit concerned about all these chief directors that we are creating, and there seems to be, and this is just a general comment, there seems to be an overlap between some of these programs, and I'll be there more specific as we go into it. So that's just a general observation, Chairperson. And then if I may also just say that I am somewhat disappointed, personally speaking, that the Director General of the Department is not there for such an important presentation. I think he has graced us with his presence probably twice since he's been appointed. So we obviously not important enough for him to come to our meeting. Chairperson, if I may go directly to the questions on program one. One that caught my eye immediately was guidelines for environmentally efficient local housing. Now, in our oversight visits, we have not come across any project on a fairly large scale where any of this is implemented. Can the department therefore just give us a brief answer as to what is being done and where it is being implemented so that we could best go and have a the environmentally efficient local power. They're talking about the guidelines, so it may not be implemented as yet, but we know nothing about that yet. Then, I have a pretty slide, some of these numbers, but I'm actually on page 3 on the last slide.
and it talks about government-wide monitoring and evaluation system. Now, we often query this, and we did it again the other day yesterday with NHPRC, for example. And there's a question linked up to assessed impact. I'd like to know what is this and what is the impact. And I think that refers to the impact of housing in people's lives. And we've questioned this before. Then, Chairperson, on four, on the last slide again. We're talking about escalating material prices. This is not something new. It's the fact of life. What is the department doing to, in fact, combat this? Do they have any ideas of how they're going to deal with this and still produce quality houses? Chair, I've got two or three more, but there's probably other members an opportunity. In fact, I've got two more on this one.
I think everybody needs it. But my problem, I'm not going to speak about the Eastern Cape. The area that I know well. I've been there, I've seen all those areas those people were left without houses. Some were promised friends and never came, some left their houses for nothing to get there. What I want to know, what are supposed to be monitoring on this? Yes, we are pumping money to these problem people, to these people. Do we really know that people who are affected, who should be benefiting from this, do they get this?
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 5, that last, again, the budget overview, I think the presenter indicated there that Program 3, for example, used to be called Program Management before, it's now Housing Implementation Support. And as I said earlier, I think certain things have been shifted around. The concern I have with this is, and I've heard it throughout the presentation, that in starting this, in doing this, and yet those particular issues, and I'll get more specific later on, were in previous programs. The problem I have is that we as a committee cannot really assess the department with these continuous reshuffling of programs and directors. How does the department do it themselves? How do they assess what they've done previously by just changing it to another program and saying it's a new program, etc.? So there's a big concern there, Chairperson. Then under capacity requirements, there's an additional 2 million rand, I imagine, over and above what's in the budget already for capacity building. Is this funding for the department exclusively in terms of capacity building, or can the department use some of this funding at provincial level, at the local government level? And the last question, Chair, the social housing regulator, 180 million in this budget. The bill is yet to come before the committee, and we all know that takes a bit of time to get it approved and signed off by the president, and then it gets implemented. And yet, and I think the presenter just touched on it, that there may be a reshuffle there. We're budgeting 180 million there. If not, that's not too optimistic. Thank you, Chair.
Madam Chair, you should respond to this. And I think it is an issue. We do have, but I think the point is, I think that there is a significant focus shift. Some of which is in the time that could be more effective. think I take that point that the concern that there are too many chief directors. I think that's probably what I would say myself, given that. But I think it's critical to note that, firstly, all of these new units go through a process of evaluation and assess in terms of what the content of the work before and after. We continue even ourselves to do that because we cannot remain with the structure when things are changing out there. And I think one of the things that has been highlighted time and again is the absence of the National Department on the ground. These are the attempts to improve on those. I'm going to ask Mr. Dix from Houston on the environmental efficient housing. But I think I would want to give the members the assurance that this restructuring is meant is a culmination of a process that has been rigorous over a period of time. It shouldn't be in a rush all at once. It's aimed at trying to ensure that we can be effective on the ground. Mr. Sombrosin, please respond on the environmentally efficient housing.
Okay, thank you.
And then Ms. Shirley Payat on the monitoring. And then I will take on the balance.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just on the issue of environmental efficient housing guidelines, those have been done now and completed, and they will be incorporated into the new revised housing code. So the fact that you're not seeing a lot of that stuff at the moment is because of the time frame involved. So it's in the new code, and we will share the new code as soon as it's ready. There are, as you also mentioned, a number of projects throughout the country where these have been tested, etc., and there's some money going into the N2 project as well as part of it. Probably there will be some environmental efficient housing going into that as well. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, my understanding is that the question was in terms of the assessing the impact of housing and the government wide system of housing. Maybe what I just need to quickly just talk about is the government wide monitoring and evaluation system, and just to tell you, or just to share with you, that my understanding is that the objective of the system is actually to contribute towards improved governance. This is about enhancing the collation and the analysis of, and the dissemination, and also the application of information. And this is with regard to how policies progress, the impact of the policies of the program, and of the different projects. Also, it's about ensuring that there's going to be transparency and that there's accountability and also to promote service delivery improvement and compliance in line with the policies and the programs and in line with the statutory requirements that have been set down. So essentially at the national level, a government-wide system is being put into place by the presidency, which is saying to us that we want to have transparency, we want to ensure that there's a way in which we are going to answer to ensure that monitoring and evaluation takes place within the context that it is transparent and that information is available and that we are achieving what goals we have set ourselves to achieve. Here then, the question of the assessment of the impact is another aspect. Because what we do in the assessment of the impact is that we then start to see what impact, for example, the provision of housing has had on a community. So we would need to then look at whether projects in a particular area or overall, whether that has actually improved the lives of people, have people been disadvantaged in any way. That is the kind of impact then that we start to look at. But what we will do is that we will look at the government-wide system that has essentially a framework has been presented to us. We do not have the guidelines of the state. But what we're doing is that so far as what we have from the presidency, we are trying to align whatever monitoring and evaluation indicators that we have as present to ensure that it starts to address the government-wide system. And on the impact assessment, we will be able to ascertain whether our programs are achieving that. For example, have we, any one of programs, have they achieved what we have set up and what the intent of the policy has been? So that essentially will be what the assessment of the, what the evaluation on the assessment of the impact will be. So there will be a, there is a difference, but it will be within the context of the government-wide system. Thank you.
Yeah,
just
to
I'd like to indicate that the government monitoring, government-wide monitoring and evaluation system, which is actually an effort to elevate the monitoring. Initially, the government implemented the financial outcome of the government's performance. But this is an effort to elevate the non-financial indication with regard to the environment. It is within the government guidelines, the president elevated the MGG that they are required. This is the output. That's what is required with regard to our millennium development goal. And it measures outcomes instead of outputs. Outputs will be the number of units in terms of project management, the number of units that are delivered to the crowd. But the outcomes will then measure whether the crime levels have gone down, whether the people's lives have improved, whether it's unfortunate that the coup has not been delivered. It has covered a very wide scope in terms of what is being delivered. We are talking, for instance, in one instance, we are talking about the inclusionary housing policy. We have indicators of how much we integrated our society. In terms of access to social amenities and so on. So this is a very well thought and very well thought. In line with the code, we're going to give the department a handle in terms of allocating the service delivery on the ground. And also has been very clear in terms of where we want to find ourselves. There is a question around the challenges, material supply shortages. I think this is an acknowledgement of a process that just goes beyond housing as a result of the capital infrastructure investment that government is aiming at. We're raising it because we largely at the bottom of the in terms of profits that people can make. But if I come back to the question, the minister, I think many times has been engaging in the stakeholder coordination arrangement, engagements with various players in the industry. We're looking at also the stretch that is, we're looking at the forecast of what the problem is likely going to be. We must remember we're competing with all of the others who themselves are faced with this dilemma, including GTI and any of the possibilities that may be considered in the event that becomes a reality, such as to fight the you may have to deal with the supply side. And those are the issues that are being looked at to see to what extent it can not be influenced to those possibilities. Yes, ma'am. I will not be able to answer the specific questions of the Eastern Cape, except some of which were which I look at. Sometimes at the provincial level there are those delays unnecessarily in dealing with matters of disaster. But we were concerning in this case to the Port Elizabeth. Port Elizabeth disaster that occurred there. In which we in the Zanempura project have national department of representation. We're trying to push it such that the development around that. But there, in some cases, there are challenges, local challenges in some of the areas. Thank you. Our monitoring will largely be dealing with some of those issues, and they have to prioritize some of the working scenarios so that we can pick up on an early warning basis. Continuously, the assistance that we're giving to the implementers trying to unblock whatever problems they may have at a local level. It remains a big challenge. On page 80, the second slide, where we talk about this program one, if I'm correct, this slide. Then I see this number of legislations here, including the PIE amendment bill, but it is part of for 2006-07. Now I want to know, since this bill has been officially withdrawn from Parliament to be reformulated or to be redrafted, I want to know whether is it the same old bill that has been withdrawn from Parliament, which is now for public comment again, or do we talk about the same bill, or is it a new one where there are public comments expected? Then, if so, I want to know where is it and where we can access it, so that as a portfolio committee, the ones who are responsible for the withdrawal of the bill through the minister, so that you know what is the development of the old bill.
I just wanted to say that we're more tech and social in the university department. And I must say that we welcome it because the comprehensive plan is important for the new thing in the department. But I think what is also be important to the committee, if there are these changes that is being taken from the university, new economic and the department and business development policy, we need to do the same as the other concern which I've noted. I'm not sure what I'm buying. It looks as though we're moving away from housing issues as I can see. But rather taking the housing issue, department is responsibility of housing issues from what the presentation is saying right now. I just want to know exactly where we are in terms of that. Also, because we are before we go to the budget vote on the 8th, we are planning for public hearing, and we are going to call all these housing institutions before us. So we need to know exactly where we are in the budget department, even on the housing issues. So that's what I wanted to raise. Also, with regards to the legislation, the thing is that there's a lot of different places that will come before us. So the important is not the time frame. So that we will be able to plan our program properly in the committee, because we've got the other program in the committee, but legislation is a priority. So we'd like to know exactly where those legislations will be seen for us at the moment of the consumer. It's the same that we dealt with yesterday, but we'll deal with that. But it's important to look at the legislation in this program. Yeah.
Thank you,
Chair.
Just on a point of clarity, on pages 19, 20, and 21, under the Chief Director's internal order, where it says achievements 20708, is that not wrong? Should that not be 20607? Just for clarity. And then having corrected
there, Chairperson. There's mention is made of a few examples where the SAU unit has been very successful. But I know that it's fairly insignificant amounts of money where they have been successful. And we know from our oversight that there are projects where there are disputes or fraudulent claims of millions of rand per project. But they don't seem to feature in terms of the achievements. So could the department perhaps just give us an indication of how many cases are in the investigation at this point? And then one concern that I've got on 21, and it may be incorrect, but it was said under risk management that nothing has been done up to now. This unit is new. Now, risk management surely cannot be new. This was in another program, and there was risk management done by the department previously. But this sort of thing that concerns me, Chair, when an item is moved from one program to another, it's almost like they start afresh and nothing existed before. Very similar to the monitoring and evaluation. We've asked those questions before. Doesn't the department monitor the provinces when they approve their claims or approve money? It's almost like it's a clean slate, a fresh piece of paper, and it's starting all over. Thank you, Chair.
I'm going to ask Manny on the legislation that I do think that there would have been time for the processing of it. We may just have to appraise the members maybe at a later stage about what things we were allocating and communicate. I think the department in this consideration of the housing institution is not absorbing all of the department to the extent that they some of the institutions were set up with specific objectives and time frames. When those time frames or those objectives are met, it may mean that the institution's mandate therefore expires. I mean, an example of that would have been Servcon. The PHP team might be one which has largely been brought back to the department, and there is a particular strategy for that, that in fact we would manage the PHP as a program, it's not just coming with it. The manner in which now, as you probably are aware, Madam Chair, there are engagements with the players in the PHP program. Yes. With a view to improving the program itself with the participation of those, but that is now dealt with under that sub-program, stakeholder management. I think there has been reference to that. The social housing institution issue, we've put a transitional arrangement in the event that we are unable to, whatever the reasons, in the process of passing legislation, et cetera, and further engagements with some of the other stakeholders. But in fact, by the time we have the institutional on an interim basis, which is the Social Housing Foundation, to deal with some of the matters. This money largely capital to deal with the social housing, not largely yes. So that is the difference. And in that arrangement, we have to have an interim arrangement, such that by June, by September, we are able, if we are able to gauge the progress, we can then appropriating, come back to Parliament to appropriate that money in favor of Social Housing Foundation until the institution is better. When we do the plan, we did it in June last year. All plans were that we would have had the institution. Otherwise, we would then have to wait another almost 2 years. Thank you. Yeah, I think, madam, you have indicated that there might be a need to understand the structure itself and how it covers the strategy. And I think I will communicate that to the minister and the DG so that they need that engagement. I think, is there any other question on your mind?
Sorry, oh, hi. Yes. Mr. Fogelman. Chair, Mr. Yakovic, Chief Director of the Chief is not here today, but my understanding is, and this is the last engagement, members will recall last year, we had an engagement on the Bible, and it was decided to refer it back to the Department of Philanthropy and ourselves to sort out a number of issues. It deals largely with the definitional issues around land and buildings. It relates to the recent court cases where the judgments went against government because of the definitional problem. So from that perspective, it's not a new bill. It's basically the same old bill that has now been tweaked with the inputs from land affairs. That was my understanding. What I will undertake, Madam Chair, is to make a copy available to the members. I'll ask Richard to email a copy for distribution so the members can take a picture with it. That's as far as I can respond. As I say, it's outside of my area of work at the moment, but I've lost a little bit of touch with it. But that's my understanding.
With regard to this various legislation, we do have actually a sequence and a time frame, and we will be able to circulate that in the day of when I get back the sequence of all the legislation and the time frame, because we do have that in the office. Thank you.
On the MOU,
Mr.
Chair, because as though you have not included Norway.
Thanks, sir. It's true that we have a relationship formally currently with Norway, where the previous minister has been interested in Norway to the form partnership with them. In fact, we got the co-chair the CSD at some point, so after our seat. But at the department level, we haven't formalized that relationship. But we do communicate with them from time to time. It's also true that Norway are leaders in social housing, but formally we've got a relationship with the Dutch on social housing.
I'm not saying it's from the Netherlands. Netherlands is good. The
because we do have to grow up. We do have case studies in South Africa where we find our residents.
Thank you, Chair. I think the point has been taken. There was the issue of the SI. Madam.
Thank you. The President has signed the proclamation, which will see the coordination for all Hamptons investigations nationally. And it was published in the Gazette last week. There is a committee consisting of members of the department and SIU task team. We are going to engage all police to identify all priority cases that they want investigated in this process. So there will be a significant in terms of recovery and cases that are investigated and taken to court. When this process kicks off. Thank you.
Members, thank you. Members, if you want to move to another program, you're still to do so. Don't you confine to program one. If you have done the program one. That is Madena.
Don't call that if I'm taking with that. But I just want to ascertain on communication services. That's like 23. I think bullet number. It says produce information and information communication material. My question or the clarity of the comment department is running all in digital languages. And how are they reaching the very rural people? Because they are the ones who are actually disadvantaged.
We touched on this before, and I think you've mentioned it as well. I'm on program two. The housing policy, there's a number of policies here that I see for the first time. Now, I think the last time when the department came to us was the farm workers policy, I think it was, and also the rural. We indicated to them that we have some experience at ground level with our constituencies as to what the needs are and how fast things could and should be addressed. And I'm concerned that the department does not come to the committee with the drafting of these policies. They don't provide us with a draft where we can make an input. We are being made aware here now that there's a number of policies that have been completed. And this is my concern, that we're not playing a role that we should be playing. We possibly more so than the officials, like I said, interact with the people on the ground. And it's simply unacceptable that we must have these, guidelines for the department's youth development plan, indigenous voting technology. I can go on and on and on with these. We would see them for the first time when they actually publish these indicators here. So that's my one concern on this program too. Then if I may just continue, the mention is made on page 29 about training of provincial housing voices. Again, it's something I'm not familiar with. On page 29, the middle slide, define demand for consolidation training of provincial housing rents. So, again, it's probably something that's been developed that we know nothing of. And then, Chair, just on the other one, from page 31, skill audit. We all know the problems around this, we've addressed it before. The research was undertaken to determine the skills needed. Was this only in the Department of Housing, the National Department, or was this done countrywide in all provincial departments of housing as well? And, Chair, I'm going to two more. There's mention made of a partnership with the DST, Department of Science and Technology. It resulted to $8.5 million project. But I think I personally, and I think the committee would appreciate it if you got details on this. So that, we can learn from this as well, and we can perhaps again do some oversight and see how it's working, particularly with other departments involved. And then lastly, Chair, on page 32, the last slide, applies to provide regular reports on the performance and capacity of the construction and building sector. Is the intention here that it's done both for the public and the private sector in the entire construction sector? So then I would imagine it's a mammoth problem.
I think only if
the
public sector is concerned, then and our interaction is policy. We've been raising not only today, a number of times. But when there's a policy being formulated, and we need at least the committee to be brought on board, so that we are able to familiarize ourselves with the kind of legislation that we follow the policy and the implementation of the policy. It's not the first time we've raised that. That is why I was shocked when we said that the housing code is revised. It is this committee that called for the revival of the housing code. No one from the committee. I don't know how much we have the involvement of the committee in policy formulation. Of the number of the different committees. I've participated in different things. From the housing paper, from the green paper, from whatever. Right through the process. There's nothing in the difference that I don't know about. Never look at policy, it needs to be like that. As far as the policy is concerned. Otherwise, these are supposed to be people who actually speak on behalf of the department when issues are raised out there, both in Parliament and also with the people that we encounter. Another trick for the people, including the housing stakeholders. So I'm not sure how much more we can say.
Need to find the process that we could define particularly because we, at least from a planning perspective, we have listed, enumerated the policies that we I'm not sure whether through our initiation or through the committee's initiation, we would then work out a program that says if these are aged to be completed by the time when does that engagement take place? Because most of these policies are developed through a consultative process with a whole lot of role players, including the political structure in level when it reaches completion. I think it may well be that in some of them some of the policies, the reflection here is that work is now ready to go for approval. Certainly the code hasn't gone to NMEC, for example, but it has gone through the interprovincial with the recommendation from municipalities and other stakeholders. It's now ready to be processed. That's what is reflected here. It may well be that with the wish of the committee, the department could come back and present what has been presented there so that the inputs can be taken on board. But that is the committee's oversight right to do so. But I do remember that it was, in fact, in previously, we did prepare some of the policies last year for sending to Parliament. I'm not certain whether they were not received. address I'm taking in 7%. Okay. I think we could do that as well. But the committee is aware of the policies that will be in place, and I believe it's also we could come as we do when we come with the regulations to present what is being developed. Thank you very much. I feel bad to have to respond to the same thing again. I hope we will be able to manage it. Can you respond to the other technical problem too?
Respond to the one on communication, regarding communication and the reach to people. We have just right now got one program called Homi to Homi, which is being aired through almost of the community radio station. While we are trying to translate things, we are trying to have in mind people who cannot read and write enough. Are trying to use the medium of the radio, because we find that has the maximum reach in the rural areas. But there's never enough that can be done for people's expanding people's understanding on these issues. No. We have the one program that we have floated. It's called Homie to Homie.
But we're asking about the voice.
Yes. Ma'am, I will attempt to respond to the voice.
On the issue of the voices, once again, it's a bit of jargon. If you look at the slide, it talks to the rollout of the National Program for Elderly Chapters of the IDP. And that this sort of a 6-minute thing to try to list the sort of steps in it. What we found is it's very important for a specific champion to be identified in the municipality or in a province that can carry and become the housing voice to say that, have you looked at the housing issues? You know, so that's really defining it, and that's what we mean by the housing voice. It's our champion in that process, and that person would then raise it time and again just to make sure that it's incorporated. And those 6 minutes just sort of trying to set out the steps in doing running out the program. That's great. Thanks, ma'am.
Yeah,
it's
not
that
everybody's focused.
With your permission, maybe I should respond now to the skills audit. The skills audit is a process that involves all the provincial and municipal government structures. And that means they were all engaged and they are very active. They are all champions of this process. But we are coordinating this process and it is championed by ourselves as NIDA. But it is very all the municipalities that can guarantee that I was participating in that process, and I can reassure the community. And I think the other was on the process of the code. Even if it has been responded to, we have to indicate that this is a very, very major step that the process started maybe about two years ago. And it has now reached a critical stage. I have to indicate that we have an interdepartmental task team that involves both the municipalities, the provincial government, officials, and other stakeholders that are participating in the housing code. And that process has now been completed. 2 weeks ago, we met with the provincial HOD. That means we are now at a level where we have the signing of all the provincial HODs. The next step, which we think is going to be within maybe a week or so, the next meeting, it will then be a report back to the minister and the MEC, which I think there will be, that will be at the stage where there will be maybe an official communication. But our understanding was that it is going to be referred by the minister, that she hasn't seen what the product that he has produced, maybe informal, but she hasn't been able to see the minister. The code is a major, it's going to impact on our work, and it's a very major document, which will ensure that the committee is successful in this year. But
And I don't know whether we're using any other the FNC, the Python technology, and memorandum of understanding for our department in the Python technology. Yes, there is a memorandum of understanding. The copy is ready for circulation. It is in the area of research. In fact, we are where we have duplication, we share our research with the science and technology and other departments, so that we exchange notes, exchange ideas, so that we either access the wider scope we access their tools, their information that is in the government domain in terms of science and technology. The memorandum of an assembly is signed and readily available. I think it's easy to command and make that they're available. I think that would be the if I have any, I can't remember the last question you had in the chat where about the private report. Performance capacity in the housing sector. Our intention is really to be able to measure both in the private and the public sector. We have to put resources in our branch to be able to address mainly private and public, and as near the support is available to be shared with the commission.
One of the things
I think
about in
I'm going to skip some of the more the questions that are not very important at this stage. What I want to ask is if a deliverable has been identified, I think it's in program 3, still in program 2 though, conduct a beneficiary occupancy order. Is this, for which period is this been studied? Is this 1994 to date? Because again, it's basically made quite a lot of work, human resources, and do we budget for that? And if so, where do we actually budget for that? And then simultaneously, Chairperson, there's somewhere here, the first line block stalled and blocked projects. Now, once we've unblocked it,
again, where is the budget for this? Is it with these provinces? Is it with the national department? Is it included in the current budget? Because once the project has been unblocked, if we don't have the funds to continue and change that project, then what is the point of doing that? So where do we find, where can we reinvest that money for these soil projects? Chair, I think that would be all that I have. Except to say that I noticed communication was under the, it was under two programs. This is the one that Ed Mabena asked a question about, and then there's communication somewhere around here again. And this is where I referred to earlier, where there appears to be some overlap of line items in the various, not, I would imagine you need them, but I'm looking specifically on page, I just looked at 44, the housing implementation support. I mean, there's a budget of 40 million for communication there. And there's a different communication item under a different, another chief director.
Madam Chair, I take the note of the of this discussion on quality. In the monitoring the evaluation impact assessment framework and system is we want to have question, we want to be able to know what, how can you qualitatively use the work of an HPRC in the whole chain? How can we avoid duplication? Accepting that sometimes the objectives are not necessarily the same. Largely, we believe once we have it systematically designed, we will be in a better position to know and be able to know where the weaknesses are and where we can supplement one another in the process. That is what this program is aiming to develop, the roles of the national, the province, the other role players, how to interact with them would be described in that the monitoring and evaluation system framework. the special purpose vehicle, Madam Chair, is in process. The last engagement aims to reflect that it's going to take a little bit longer than had been anticipated to set up one of the things that would be dealt with. And in the, at this stage, the discussion is about utilizing the existing institutions such as law to the issue in the process. Yeah, but one of those are being looked at. Only if only for this gap, so that at least certain things can be tackled between now and the time when that institution is set up, but it's still on the radar. Julie is going to respond to the job to conduct a beneficial occupancy audit. It might well be that. Can you explain us the methodology you will utilize and what is the objective?
The need for that beneficiary audit is actually being linked with knowing precisely what numbers of houses that were built since 1994 up to a certain date, whether what actually exists on the ground is what we have on our database. And the idea is to do that count, and that has actually commenced, and the pilots have actually been put into place, and funding for that was actually done with some funding that was already in place from our information management direction. So that has been that's actually a very expensive exercise, but that process has already begun. Because what we want to ensure that our numbers are absolutely correct, and that is what we hope to achieve with this particular exercise. Thank you, Chair.
I think the communication thing is just a misplacement of are intended. Because in the new program, it's under program, right? But the actual discussion of the activities I have seen now is under program, too, which is, it's not a duplication, but it's just a displacement. But the mind is in program 3. We will correct that.
The short answer on unblocking is the Easter issue money. We have the grant of 800 billion this year. Provinces need to prioritize in the context of their activities to facilitate the unblocking of the block projects. What we have done, we have now given them amended guidelines through amendment, which would make it easier for them to unblock and to put additional funding into block projects. It becomes a bit technical, Chair. Previously, even a subsidy was approved to the amount of let's say, 21,000. The province might only have spent 21,000 on that house, whether it was blocked or not. We have now created a mechanism for them where, under certain conditions and circumstances, and once the next investigations have been done, that someone didn't run over the money, therefore the project is blocked, that they can actually, from their budget allocation, add additional funding to unblock that project. But that is conditional to ensure that a contractor, for argument, doesn't walk over the money and we just keep on pumping money into the same house. So it becomes a bit technical. As I said, short answer, there is no additional funding. Promises need to prioritize.
You just reminded me of something.
When one looks at the provincial plans currently, they have looked at the most critical of those projects and prioritized some of them within the funding that they have. It is one of the things that we will be at the top of the discussions with National Treasury, because we needed to have complete assessment of what the block projects and the various stages that they are, etc. And we do hope that at least as we go forward, we'll be able to make a case. Because in some of them, you might not spend too much to complete than starting afresh. So in the provincial plan, the reflection and the program unblocking, and most provinces are provided for it.
Yes, you reminded me, because I'm looking in terms of your presentation, you mentioned nothing of the provinces at all. As you are asking the provinces, but I'm saying in the future, you normally attach it.
Yes, sorry. Incorrect. Yeah. Exactly, it's because there was so much that we put at here, and we were largely going through what is reflected here. I think we'll come back with those. Okay.
Yeah. The problem with the market scheme, whether the Department of Housing is coordinating well with Water Affairs and Forestry and local government, provincial local government, only eradicating the packet system. If you build a house, definitely you must have a toilet to one house. And then you want to know why it is not any provision on that. Because it's one of the main priorities to get rid of the packet.
You will recall that we had a program called the Integrity Development Program. That was now killed. We phased it out. That program did assist in a number of projects with that. markets and replacing the old human settlement redevelopment program, which is now being phased out. But that did assist, for instance, in Umtata, with the replacement of buckets and the installation of a waterborne sewage system, for argument's sake. According to our policies at the moment, we provide the full spectrum of services, land, services, and the top structure, which to an extent then assists with the eradication of the bucket system where we do greenfield developments. What the housing policy does not do, it does not go into existing areas and just replace, for instance, a bucket system with a waterborne sewage system. Those funds are situated currently now with through the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry, with DPLG in the mid-grant, and there's a special allocation in the municipal infrastructure grant for eradication of buckets according to the sector target that was set by the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry.
Maybe in addition, I should indicate that we had a joint meeting with DPLG, a joint WinMAC, and the purpose of the meeting was mainly to coordinate the planning and intervention of government with regard to meet funds and also any other infrastructure project. And we have not yet reached, there is a lot of goodwill in cooperation in terms of planning with DPLG. However, there is no memorandum of understanding that there is but there is an agreement in principle that we are going to plan together and we are going to put joint plans together. We're going to have a joint intervention with regard to bringing up the spectrum of the service. But the discussions are ongoing and they have already been initiated. There is at least one index with the Department of the local government.
I don't think that the change of
regulation. I understand the program of the eradication of informal settlement. It is the cutting edge of the program.
Gentlemen, we have not, and my has that may be for also informal settlement upgrading, which I thought is also at least one of those warehousing does eradicate.
Yeah.
And
ensuring that the program that the department is designed to implement, that it does implement it. Because we may end up in a situation where each program that's falling by the wayside is removed or getting excited about the pilot projects and all other things. Because the basic unit at the end of the day is what was provided. So it's critical then we involve the new program and improve it. Okay, I think that's an understanding. Members, are you satisfied that you've answered all your questions? Ketis Mabena.
Chairperson, I don't want to be very satisfied when there are questions that need to be answered or not adequately answered. I'm still asking a question myself about this homey to homey, the which radio station broadcasted. And then I was also going to ask about the 14 million on communication. What led to the allocation of this 14 million? So I'm not yet clear. They just brushed over it. I'm worried about the people who actually spend this money. They don't get any information. Yes, they're talking about going to open. Fine, it's a nice going to open, but from which radio station? And I was actually going to ask about this 14 million. I have to ask, and I have to be clarified about this initiative.
I would allow for members to ask other questions so that it's not a question for one question. 2, 3, 4 questions and the finance committee.
Madam Chair, the Holy to Holy Show was initiated as a result of discussions between the Minister and Absa Bank specifically in the middle of last year. That was as part of the drive to promote the provision of mortgage finance by the banks. Initially, we then developed the so-called Holy to Holy radio series. It was done in six languages at a cost of approximately $3.5 million airtime included. That was aired on each and every regional radio station where that particular language, one of the six languages, were most popular in the country. But our budget limitations only allowed us last year to do that amount of shows and airtimes. We have now developed a new series. I would have to lie to the committee if I give you the name. It's not Holy to Holy, it's something different, but it's based on a similar concept. Thank you very much. That we have done at a cost of $6.5 million in the other six,
other five languages now.
In the other five languages, and that is also then being aired on, including all the regional stations. Obviously, I don't have each and every one with me, but we can very easily let you have a list of each and every radio station, the time that it was aired, etc., etc., etc. That was aired during the course of last month, I think, March, April, that was aired. But we can let you have those. See, the $40 million for capacity building has been obtained from Treasury based on our estimations of, firstly, what the Beneficiary Empowerment Program would cost us this year. Secondly,
the communications budget is based on the planned communication activity that the department undertakes. Among the things is all of the communication that is required, particularly in some of the key projects that we're dealing with. I don't have the details with me here, but that is, in fact, the requirement was $60 million. We could only allocate that, which is there. And that figure also includes staff and salaries for that program. It's a whole lot of activities that they have planned to undertake during the course of the current year, the following year, thereafter. And that would include that we would, one would expect that there will be more communication, because in the past one of the critical things has been is that housing is very economic when it comes to communicating on programs. It's been very ineffective, including communicating with the beneficiaries, and all of that is meant to implement that communication strategy.
Construction processes that is building technology and quality. while we have innovation hub, it's all those presentations in terms of the technology, what is my future like. Can you just reflect on what progress I've made with the innovation hub process? And lastly, you talk about conducting impact assessment studies in collaboration with the World Bank on upgrading of infrastructure, what we need better. Those are the two last questions that I want to ask. Is there any other member? Because I want to ask the very last question. Okay, so the last question. It's also the same slide, page 26. It says, conduct an impact assessment study in collaboration with the World Bank on upgrading of this former settlement. What do you mean by that study? What study is that? Who's going to do that?
With respect to the two alternative technology, I think Innovation Hub, Eric Molloy, Morobi Innovation Hub. Remember, there's been quite a lot of work done by the people for firstly putting the products on the ground so that they can be tested and therefore they can be subjected to the procurement processes on the basis that they are accepted. I will not lie and say in terms of the various evaluations how far some of them are, but I think institutions who I think would be the best people to gauge from a quality perspective, such as banks, have indicated interest in covering some of the units when they are utilized. One of the things, for an example, under this communication, will relate to finding a way in which we begin to sell this unit in a better way, because there is a mindset in South Africa of brick and mortar and included in those will be some work around how that gets managed. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I think there is progress. In that they are even funders who are interested in funding these when they are built on the basis that they are durable. They will last, they will be a good asset over the period. It's not all of them, it's some of them. Yes.
The impact assessment study is a study that we're hoping to undertake with the World Bank, or that we will undertake with the World Bank. We've actually requested that that we get permission from DG in order that we can do it in collaboration with the provincial housing department. The idea of this study is that it is an impact assessment study on the beneficiaries of informal settlements, insofar as what the impact is on the beneficiaries, whether they have been informed or not been informed about the planning processes and about how the whole upgrading process is going to continue. This is actually a pilot phase. We have not done this before, and the World Bank has actually suggested that we do them this way. What are we going? We're also going to provide or work on indicators to assist us in this process. So this is still in its very infancy, but we are hoping in the next 2 weeks to meet with the World Bank so we can get more information so that we can proceed with this pilot. Thank you.
Just the World Bank were brought on board by the President. They are a service provider to the President with regard to the government-wide information and monitoring and evaluation. So they have a mandate from the President to assist the national department and align the process. That is why how they came on board in the first place.
Would you say that as a committee you are going to the Eastern Cape?
And I hope the department is aware of that. We are going to offer to the municipality. The idea is to have the use of on the 7th and the 8th, which is Monday and Tuesday next week. After which we proceed to your work of the we do have the invitation for it. But we will be there for the whole week and then join the work of the I'm surprised if you don't know about it, but we did send a communication to your office. And some arrangements are being done with the department. So if you don't know what you're having out with your pets and everything has been there, then the process is over. Say the problem. Communication is done. And we've been informed that people are aware of it. Because there was actually a conference with those municipalities over there conducted.
And that a program manager is aware. Unfortunately, not here.
Members, are there any other questions that you want to ask? But you want to thank the department for coming before us. And looking forward to supervising for the budget vote. And in addition to you, you must brace yourself that it's going to be a very good budget. But we're not saying, I think it's going to be very interesting. But we are going to be having you before that, in terms of that invite the department on the issue of entry gateway, but what we want to do now, we'll communicate with you, such as the introduction. The bank is served on the technical
presentation. Again, I apologize for any that given thank you.
Interesting.